Founded in 1991 by patients, the FSHD Society is the largest grassroots network of FSHD patients, their families, and research activists. The FSHD Society offers a community of support, news, and information for the millions of people affected by FSHD worldwide. This is FSHD Society Radio. Welcome all to the FSHD Society Radio Show. Thank you for being here as we broadcast live on Facebook on another Wednesday. And it is the recurring episode where we talk about getting physical. That's right, it's the physical side of FSHD. And as you can plainly see, we have our participants already in front of us here in the Zoom FSHD Radio Studio virtual. And looking forward to talking to our guests about this topic of physical side of FSHD. So we have Mitch and Bill. They're on a first name basis now. I don't think anyone never needs to know what their last names are because they're now known as Bill and Mitch or Mitch and Bill. And they're,
you know, I can't go out in public without being mobbed.
Really? I know. Incredible. Right? Do you have to carry a Sharpie with you all the time to sign all the autographs?
Almost too much.
That's great. I'm glad that you guys can join us again because, yeah, we're talking getting physical. I can't help but think of that song, you know. Wanna get physical.
Physical.
Everybody? Yeah, no? Okay. But that's terrible. It's that's real. Why I just speak. I don't sing on the microphone. But that's really the theme that you guys bring to the table. I love it. I love the fact that you're willing to spend some time with us and dive into the work you guys continue to do for our community. Mitch, the great job you've done with Bill, and Bill, the great job you've done for yourself, right? Getting the flexibility, the strength going, and we're here to kind of peel back some more of those layers. Mitch, you gave me some homework to do. You gave me some physical exercises to do. Some of which were named very odd names, so I'm glad that you sent me videos of them to know what I was doing, like the clamshell, high knee, that one I knew, though, hip hinge marching. Yeah, there were some. I think the one that got me, though was, I think the bird dog is tough for me, and there's one where I'm laying on my back and I lift my center, my butt up off the ground, and then lift one leg up at the same time.
That's hip bridge, the hip bridge. There, yep, you got it.
That one is a beast for me. That one is a beast for me. That one, man, I do the best I can, but that is tough.
Totally, I would say, you know, and each person that I've worked with that has, you know, the FSHD kind of affecting them, bird dog is definitely one of the hardest ones as you're playing against gravity and trying to go with your arm overhead. So, you know, it's a little easier than maybe standing, but sometimes when we're standing, we can kind of swing the arm up. This is a little bit harder to swing the arm up as it's, you know, only it's already halfway up if you're standing, it's on the ground rather.
Right.
So that overhead movement is tough. You know, the stability and the actual power to get it up on top is pretty hard. So Bill and I, you know, spent some good amount of time of, you know, I'd say every day we warm up with, you know, he'll lay on his back, whether it's on the ground or the bench, like a bench press, like type like bench or a physio ball. And just really, we grab a dowel piece and just kind of reach, you know, overhead, just trying to lengthen some of the arms and lats and get the arms to feel that overhead position, whether or not it's sitting upright or laying flat down.
Okay.
And some of it is with you pulling, some of it is under my steam. So that helped me gain the range of motion necessary.
Yeah. I'll put a band around the dowel piece and actually just walk in all different directions. So he has to resist, whether it's a pull from the front or a pull from the back, you know, he has to resist into a certain, you know, energy technique. I call them the METs, actually. It's called muscle energy technique, where if I was pulling and I was behind Bill, you know, and I pulled the band backwards, he's trying to either bring it forwards or backwards, but keep the same amount of muscles that are activated. So, you know, as we're controlling the resistance, the muscles might be getting longer, the muscles might be getting short. but we want to be able to know how to control in all different directions.
Yeah, there's definitely some challenges to it, and kind of sticking with it, trusting the process, trusting the fact that, okay, these are different, these are new movements, maybe some movements I've not done a lot of over the years for sure, so it gets challenging or stressful. And yeah, that one hip bridge, yeah, marching, right? Is that what we were talking
about?
It's hard. Yeah, that one's not.
It's hard.
Surprisingly, and I'm like replaying the movement in my head when I'm doing it. And when I, you know, lift the hips, now I'm lifting the leg, I think I find it that it's easier for me to hold my weight then with my left foot planted down than my right, which I was totally surprised because I'm right-handed. So I thought, oh, my right leg will be stronger. But that's not the case.
And that's usually, you know, the first kind of thought that everybody has. And then I usually like to kind of break it down. Kicking something is usually the best way to do that. If you are right hand and right leg dominant, you are going to kick probably with your right leg. If you were to kick a ball rolling towards you, or, you know, if you really needed to kick some kind of a door open, you know, how are you going to create power? And if you are right hand or right side dominant, you might kick with the right leg, but the leg that's going to be on the ground actually creating force against the ground is the left leg.
Oh. Yeah,
so as a basketball player, something like that, if we go up for a layup or if we go up for something more intense, you know, you're going to maybe go up with your dominant hand, but you're going to jump off your opposite leg. So our bodies move very contralaterally. If you go running or a fast paced walk, the knee that comes up high is usually, you know, on the same thing as the elbow that's coming forward on the opposite side. So it'd be your right knee, left elbow, and then vice versa.
Okay.
That so once you kind of think about that and how we move contralaterally, which means right and left right, as left arm, right leg, and vice versa, that's a very common way that we do a lot of different things.
Yeah, that does make
sense. Training those approaches is smart too.
Yeah. And since I'm kind of a rookie at it, you know, trying to keep focus, you know, on my North Star of this is going to equal some progress, seeing the work that you've done with Bill, how is that? Or can you recall, you know, those early weeks or the early months when, you know, you might have been hitting some of those difficult spots or walls, and how did you keep your eye, you know, on the goal moving forward?
Well, I was afraid of doing it because I thought I was going to have decline. I didn't completely trust the new data suggesting that exercise was going to be helpful. That was number one. And number two, I felt foolish and in public because I was doing it at a gym and doing a lot of these silly walks, you know, like the Monty Python walks, felt silly. And then three, I didn't really see much improvement for a long period of time. So those were all going against me. However, I was really motivated in that I wanted to stay in my house. I wanted to be able to climb up the stairs. I wanted to be able to walk without scabbing up my knees. So that outweighed that, and I decided to give it a fair trial. And I was, again, I've mentioned this before, I was really impressed that Mitch was willing to read some of the research that I was sharing with him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Mitch, I mean, you were all in, it seemed like, right away, all in for helping and meeting that challenge. I'm sure it was challenging.
Totally. I think it was a good time in kind of both of our, you know, kind of lives and careers as to where I was, and it was a good opportunity for me to learn something different than rather just you know, someone coming in and just wanting to weight train, and, you know, how do we weight train, but how do we do it the right way? So it was just a different process, and it kind of intrigued me. And Bill and I have gone through some multiple years now and some hoops and some, you know, ups and downs. Sometimes it's, you know, it's a struggle because if we're not challenging the body, chances are it won't change as a, you know, at the pace that we want it to. So we always got to remember that too, is we can do all the things that, you know, kind of made us better in the first place, but if we don't necessarily change that program and change some of the challenges within the program, you might rather just, you know, keep maintenance on the body rather than progress the body.
Yeah.
So that's something to always remember as well.
I didn't want this. Oh, go ahead, Bill, please.
Well, this is tangentially related, but I'm not the only person with FSH who was training with Mitch. Mitch has now a little squadron of FSHers who are training with him. I think you're pretty much maxed out, but I can't imagine anyone has more experience as a trainer with FSH. Hmm. So you've got a unique perspective.
Yeah,
it's been fun. It's been fun seeing, you know, how sometimes it'll affect certain people more than others, and it's some different approaches that we have to do to try to turn on certain muscles because certain muscles are, you know, atrophied to a different, you know, level. And that's the whole process, though, is everybody is different. So we just got to figure out what's the best thing for them and create that program and that routine for them to try to stick to. And consistency goes a long ways.
Hmm. Now, I didn't Absolutely. Want this whole episode to be about me and about the little workouts you gave me.
So totally.
I know that you guys always like to bring something to the table to kind of a focus point on the physicality of FSHD. And did you have something you wanted to share?
We did. So, you know, a little bit of what we're talking about is trying to create that balance within life of exercise and consistency and stuff like that. So that kind of brought us to the attention of talking about balance and stability and why that is so important, you know, okay. And that I find that to be important for anybody that I work with, you know, and as we usually tend to age, we age every day, no matter whether you're at level one or level 10. You know, and what we need to do is continue to play, continue to work on ourselves. You know, as we age, we usually continue to jump less, you know, squat less, run less, you know, and move less. So the most we can do, you know, throughout the day is try to give ourselves, you know, maybe a 10 to 15 minutes, 15 to 20 minutes of just some TLC, some focus on your own body, whether it's for the ankles for the day, the knees for the day, hips, shoulders, core, you know, just find, and you can change it up each day too. If it's the same thing every day, that gets a little bit boring sometimes. So changing it up, maybe having an actual written down schedule so you know what it is for the day at that point. You don't have to think about it. And, you know, going through a few exercises or a list of, you know, kind of exercise that you have and just trying to fine tune your body to move better. Balance can be done in all different areas. You know, as soon as we go to unilateral movements, one-legged movements, a lot of times that requires a lot more balance. You know, some of us might stand more in a wider base. Some of us might stand more narrow. Some of us might stand with the right foot open. Some might be the left foot open. So, you know, trying to find that balance within the body, you know, really allows us to move more efficiently and usually keep us away from either injury zone or developing some kind of, you know, an imbalance, you know, somewhere that promotes pain or something that we, you know, have to fix at that point. Bill, what would you say about balance in the sense of, yeah, why it's important? You know, you mentioned the sense of the scabs and the knees, you know, and what is balance to you? I mean, obviously, you know, we're trying to stay in the
position. Well, I mean, there's static at balance and there's, yep, dynamic balance. So if you could stand or sit without slouching one way or falling one direction, that's important just functionally. But it's also important to be able to, when you're moving, react to trips or falls or sudden, you know, forces acting on you and be able to recover. And the nice thing about this is that even though balance declines often with age, it's very much a trainable thing. We can improve it, and it doesn't require a whole lot of expense or effort, just a little bit of information. I mean, if you can already stand, let's assume you can stand, you might challenge yourself a little bit by making your stance narrower, by making one foot, standing with one foot in front of the other, or standing on one foot, or trying the same with your eyes closed, yep, or standing on an irregular surface or a soft surface. So all those things can challenge you further, but they have application and merit because we're not always walking on perfectly level ground where no one is going to trip us up or cats are not underfoot. I mean, it's important to be able to accommodate to all those things.
Yeah. Bill, do you have a difference for me of balance and stability? And I know I
don't quiz me, man.
I preached this to you a little bit because we just did a podcast, my Ramp Fitness. We did a podcast there. So balance, nice, and stability, there is a pretty good kind of, you know, definition difference. And Bill, can you give me at least the stability part? Would you say it's movement or would you say it's more of like the present, you know, state as to where you're at?
Well, I don't know if this is your rubric, but in terms of dynamic stability, if you move someone a little bit, if there's a tendency for the movement to increase more than the stimulus, then that's unstable. If the movement corrects against and is smaller in magnitude than the push, that would be a dynamically stable system. But I don't know where you're going with it.
Well, no, so absolutely. So that's kind of the point, though, is like, you know, what is the difference there? And you can't have stability. You can have stability without balance, but you can't have balance without stability. So those two things are a big difference. And so when you think about stability, it's more of the state that you're at. So like a building. A building is very stable. A bridge is very stable. But then balance comes from a little bit of that acted, you know, variable that maybe someone is pushing you over, or you've got a very tight rope to, you know, walk or try to, you know, do some kind of a gymnastic movement on. So at that point, stable is very good. You know, we need all the things to be working right. We want the pelvis to be sitting level. We don't want one hip higher than the other. You know, so there's a lot of things that go along with stability. When it comes to balance, can we take a step and maybe slip a little bit, but catch our balance? You won't really catch your stability necessarily. You know, yes, of course, if something, let's say we have a building and one of the corners is taken off, well, you know, it can't catch its own stability. It's just going to fall over. But being stable and in your state is also a great exercise that will work. Sometimes we'll grab a band, we'll walk away from the band so the band gets tension and taut, and we're just pushing it forward. Now, as we push it forward, we don't want it to rotate back towards the origin as to where the band is attached, because then that's not necessarily very stable. So I'm trying to teach him, you know, at this point, we're stable, we're not moving. Can you push your arm straight forward with the rope and bring it right back without being affected by the tension pull? And that's the stability. So when we get to those points, what kind of exercises should we do? Well, we should work both. You know, first, I think it's very important to have stability. And then once you have stability, you got to work that in with balance. And like I said, with balance, a lot of times going to one leg or one arm allows us to try to find that equilibrium, try to bring our, you know, our energy back to the center of gravity, our hips, our core. And that's really, you know, the fine line. And sometimes that'll be the difference that some people will tell me, you know, hey, I was walking my dog and I missed a curve. Or it was icy out and we are coming into that season, as it was 27 degrees yesterday. You know, we're coming into that season of maybe a little bit of a slip on some, you know, ice. And what do? Well, you know, sometimes we can't do anything, as sometimes the accidents are just too much. But there are also times that we can try to be prepared for that. You know, we can work reaction, but then a lot of it has to do with, again, stability and balance. So
I mean, you've trained me with falls, essentially, you know, come down for, am I strong 100%. Enough? Can I back off enough? Or you jostle me without warning in one direction? Can I maintain my position without toppling over? And that's
right. And we literally call it falling. Like we call it the falls. Like, I mean, he knows what I'm talking about, where it's preparing yourself for, if you kind of go forward, what do? Well, you're going to put another foot there, because usually it's just one foot that's posted at the beginning, and you try to catch yourself. And is it your hands? Is it your legs? Is it your core? Well, it's all the above.
You know, try to, and that brings me to another topic, which is related, which is, how do you get up from a fall? It's not necessarily so easy for people with FSH to get up from a fall unassisted.
Yep. Or anybody in that matter. I mean, you know, I've had specific sessions, just, you know, there is an exercise called the Turkish get up, you know, and at that point it's usually a weighted resistant move, but it teaches people how to get up. And, you know, from being to your back to then coming to your hips and then to your knees, to your feet, it's not an easy process. So, you know, it's very important for most people to know how to do that, you know, in case they are in an emergency.
So you're basically saying you practice falling.
Yeah.
Practice falling.
Absolutely. And
he pushes me.
I bet. It's a beautiful.
I don't know if
man.
This is the right time to declare, but he pushes me.
I didn't want you to do that. No, that's okay. Yes. I mean, I think somewhat in this position, you know, one of the biggest things that he brought to my attention when we were still at a bigger gym, you know, and that was now about 3 years ago, is he told me he hasn't had scabs in his knees for a while. So not only do I know that's something that he, you know, has observation on, but it's also something that, you know, I think is important to save some of the joints. You know, if falling on your knees consistently all the time is not necessarily all that great for wear and tear. So, you know, preventing things like that would be fantastic. And we haven't done, you know, we have not spent a whole session falling. Let's put it that way. But we will do a couple exercises that is like a forward step. And then he has to put his foot down and decelerate. So more in a scientific word it's more like deceleration rather than falling.
Yeah.
But, you know, we try to create some fun names that, you know, he knows what I'm talking about. And we are working technically on if we went forward, what do we do?
But then the word that popped in my head when you guys are talking about stability, balance, which was mind-blowing to me, the differences, right? I think we always juggle those up. But the word that came to my mind was agility. How do you react to falling? Or especially here in Wisconsin, you talked about 27 degrees and ice. Absolutely. Here, it's right around the corner. I get extremely leery because my legs are getting weaker, and then that means I'm less agile. So I feel like my reaction time is slower and my muscle response time is slower. My brain says do it. My legs say what? And then that delay, it's almost too late. So is there a possibility to increase agility with people with FSHD?
Well, 100%. I mean, you know, I would say whether it's with FSHD or not, you know, practicing the movements and getting comfortable with the movements, you know, and rather familiar with it is half the trick. You know, balance is free. Balance for the most part is usually just with your body. If I was to actually weight load you and have, let's say, 80 pounds to each side, and someone saying, well, I have to be strong if I'm doing an 80 pound movement, I'm holding 80 pounds in each hand.
Yeah.
Well, the actual 80 pounds would almost keep you in the center a little bit more because it's surrounding you.
Right.
So having the balance is, you know, oftentimes just body weight, you know, and really knowing your own proprioception, which is your body in space. Where is your body in space? Wow. So, you know, whether it is cooking on one foot or brushing your teeth on one foot, you know, or brushing your teeth with your opposite hand. I think we've all heard that before. You know, that's been a set of thing for like, you know, a couple of different things. I brush my teeth very quickly, as a lot of times in the early morning, I got to go fast. My dentist said, hey, try your other hand because you'll go slower because it's not as coordinated. You know, and it's just an easy cue for them to give somebody because it's real. We don't move as fast because we're not as coordinated. But yet, should we be? You know, should those muscles that are controlling the left shoulder to the hand be a little bit more in tune with maybe the right hand and the body? I would say yes. So I think there's a lot of simple things that we can do to try to create a little bit of that stability. One exercise that Bill and I do in a few of my other clients as well is, you know, I call it a lateral step and stabilize. So as we do this, we keep one leg straight. If we're facing towards me, if I'm on camera or if I'm in, you know, in front of him at the gym, if he's facing towards me and he goes to his left, his right leg will be straight. We load into the left leg, we load into the left hip, but that's not necessarily what we're working on. So I'm not worried about how far over or down you go. When we come back up, I want that leg that was straight initially to stay straight and come up and balance. And then the leg that we loaded into initially, the left leg, is going to come up and float in the air. So the right foot stays straight the whole time. We come up and we try to stabilize the body and the hip together. And I usually tell them to stabilize long enough to be able to take a picture, which means, you know, a second or two, maybe three.
Yeah.
And so it really just makes it have to be control. We have to find control within that motion. And if we look relatively symmetrical and stable, well, chances are the muscles that are working are the muscles that we're trying to make, you know, ignite around the whole area.
Anything you want to add to that, Bill?
I was thinking that in terms of standing stability, there's a few issues that FSH people have that may make it harder than non-FSH people. So there may be a weakness in the adduction of the dependent leg, you know, the leg that's holding the weight, and so that the hip might drop on the other side. I'm sorry, that's abduction of the dependent leg, and the weakness in distal lower leg muscles can make it hard as well to be stable on one leg. And so stretching helps with that. But you have to break down the problem and address the sub problems before you could maybe tackle those issues.
Right.
Makes sense to me.
Yeah, it does. You guys are good at this.
we have talked about this together for quite a while. So, you know, we're relatively good about almost just kind of looking at each other, I think, in the screen and just kind of going back and forth. As we've done this numerous times. And, you know, with that said is, you know, we do practice it a lot because that's what really engraves the patterns, you know, engraves the actual movement patterns and then also the habitual patterns to do it, you know. And I don't ask my clients each day, you know, how their workouts went for the week to try to embarrass them if they didn't do it. It's more so as just that consistent reminder that eventually engraves. And we do, you know, kind of continue with that process of, well, you know, we kind of correlated the sense of my body feels better if I do the exercises. I feel lethargic and maybe tight or weak if I don't do my exercises. So I'm going to do my exercises, you know.
Yeah, you try to focus in on that payoff of what does that feel like when you're done, when you did it.
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally.
Motivating.
So, you know, there is definitely a process when somebody comes up and, you know, maybe as a New Year's resolution person and says, I want to lose, you know, 60 pounds in 2 months. And I say, well, you better come see me a whole bunch because, you know, we need to be really kicking some butt.
Yeah.
But creating an actual lifestyle change and a lifestyle pattern and habit, you know, that is kind of a different approach as well. Mm-hmm. So it's not all gung-ho right away. You know, let's focus in on what your body needs so that you can make the adjustments as well in case you have maybe a, you know, a pain or something that we just need to want to activate for the day, and you do it and you work on it, you feel good and you feel, you know, kind of stress relief. And exercise does a lot of different factors and good things for the body and brain.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I don't want to keep you guys, you know, all night long. I know we like to keep these segments, you know, short.
No problem.
But I did notice though that, you know, Mitch, you did mention a podcast through Ram Fitness. I mean, I'd love the opportunity to have you plug that if people want to check that out.
Totally. Yeah. We've got about, I'd say maybe 30 of them so far right now that we've published. And so you should be able to access it through Apple Podcasts and Spotify. And then I want to say Castbox. I do believe there's a couple other kind of apps that you can get through that are mostly podcast driven. And I'm not positive about the other ones, but yeah, so we do this. We used to do it every Monday and now we do it every Wednesday. So that's actually why I have to get out of here pretty soon. Yeah. I have a podcast that we start and we meet at 6:30. So I already warned them. They know that I'm going to be a couple minutes late, but we usually, kind of collaborate for about 20 minutes and then get it rolling so that we can post it by Friday. So people have a weekly or at least a bi-weekly podcast. That is what we like to do. And then we're trying to work on some more Instagram stuff so we can get some more info and, you know, things out for people to reference. But it's a challenge amongst, you know, other things and work and everything else. So
we're
trying to balance all that, but get as much content as we can out there for everybody to be able to reference and then, you know, learn from.
Yeah. Well, we appreciate it for sure. And your guys' time is very valuable to us. So thanks, Bill. Thanks, Mitch, for joining us this month.
Thank you.
We'll see you next month and we'll lock in on another part of the body and talk that out too.
Sounds great. Awesome. Thanks, Tim.
Thanks, guys.
Bye-bye.
So that is Mitch and Bill. you don't need to know them by any other name. And we like to keep those episodes a little shorter when it comes to the recurring episodes, simply for that reason. We want to give you guys some quick information and then go forward from there. But like Mitch said, he has another podcast out there. And maybe if you're something like me, maybe you're already looking it up and wondering where to find it. I think it's Ramp Fitness. See, when you do a plug, Mitch, you got to say exactly the full name, right? So people can search it. If you're a Spotify user, such as myself, that's where I find all my podcasts. If you missed any past episodes of this show, you can find it all on Spotify, Google as well. Just search FSHD Society Radio Show or FSHD Radio. Should be all there for you. I knew that this would be a little shorter segment with our featured guest today than maybe some listeners are accustomed to. So I do have some other stuff I wanted to talk to you about that I looked up via Facebook and kind of keyed in on the physicality part, like certain questions that maybe people had out there. So, in fact, there's some people that are chiming in right now in the Facebook chat room. Thank you, Jimmy, for plugging FSHDSociety.org for Marianne about past shows and all these things, I believe, right? That's what you guys are doing. So I appreciate that. And I know that some of the people that are chatting in there chatted in some of these things that I found on Living with FSHD. So I want to get into that. But first, we're going to take a quick break, and on the other side of it, we'll dive into it. You're listening to the FSHD Society Radio Show. Hi, this is Tim Hollenbach, host of the FSHD Society Radio Show, and I wanted to talk to you a little bit about the FSHD University. FSHD University is your center for advanced education about the art and science of living with FSH muscular dystrophy. The inspiration for FSHDU emerged from the success of the Sequester Camp series, which was a weekly program launched by the FSHD Society team when the COVID-19 pandemic forced widespread social distance. We will focus on these three departments on FSHD University: physical health, mental health, and research, drawing on the many resourceful, creative people in our community who have earned their MDs and PhDs in living with FSHD. Over time, we expect to establish new departments to address additional areas where we see a thirst for knowledge. Your input and suggestions are very much welcome. This is your university, the FSHD Society University. To find out more, visit fshdsociety.org. Welcome back to the FSHD Society Radio Show. Thanks for sticking around with us on the other side of the break here. You can email me if you'd like. If you have any questions on how my little physical workouts, not little, they're actually kind of significant, that Mitch Wade gave me, or any other questions for that matter, fshdradio@fshdsociety.org. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at FSHD Society. We had our featured guest in the first segment there with Mitch and Bill talking about the physicality of, or the physical side of FSHD, which we try to have reoccurring guests every month, and they talk to us about getting physical with FSHD is the way I like to kind of phrase it. I had to have their own intro music, I think, soon. And they really keened or focused in on balance and stability. And it's just designating the two parts, like they're two different pieces. If you're having balance, you're kind of you're in one place until movement happens or a shift of weight happens, then you're fighting for balance, where gravity is free, as Mitch said, and that kind of is where stability is. It's just a state of no movement is what it appeared, or what I understood it to be. So it's very interesting. And I ask the question, when I think of those things, we talk about agility then. In my mind, like, you're thinking, how do I stay agile? How do I react to a situation? I coach some baseball. I coach flag football as well. And our season's almost over. And when you only have about 7 players on a squad with another assistant coach and yourself, you end up playing as much as you can on the field of moving, you know, as a pass rusher or a defender or something, as a coach. And I try my best. I don't have the agility. My brain, for instance, if I would catch a pass, the old me would have caught it, turned around, made some type of weight shift move, sending my defender one way and then going the other, right? A juke. I tried doing that even as of today in the practice I had prior to this episode, and it's darn near impossible. I ask for my legs to respond. I ask for my muscles to respond, and my brain wants to say, I'm going to do this move and go, and I don't. I don't even do the move. I end up just kind of stopping, and of course, I get caught. And I always think, gosh, can I work on agility? And I think if I keep working in the exercises Mitch has given me, and then maybe I ask him, hey, can you give me some stuff on agility? I'm hoping I can get some of that back a little bit. Not that I'm going to play football again or something like that. That's not my wish. My wish is just to coach with ease so I can demonstrate the physical movements I'm asking the players to do. And the way I see it, sometimes the best way in my mind is to show it. So for me personally, in a selfish nature, it'd be nice to be able to do those things. Where right now, it's just not happening. So I I kind of teased right before the break that we were going to talk a little bit about things I found about physicality, physical exercise on Living with FSHD on their Facebook site. I ended up printing three questions out that were asked, and I'm not going to name names and stuff, but some that are already chatting within this chat room, I see your names on this. So you might be familiar with some of the questions, which is really ideal because then you might have opinions to further on with this. I don't know. We're going to see. So the first question that I found very interesting was, it was titled discussion question with three exclamation points. Whenever I exercise my muscles hurt. So this person exercises, muscles hurt. My husband says, well, you need to work them out more so they don't hurt. I try to tell him it doesn't work that way for people like us. Am I wrong? Disclaimer, we were picking at each other, and I said, well, I'm going to ask the experts. So obviously it's a lighthearted conversation happening between husband and wife, and the wife appears to have FSHD and talks about being sore after exercises, and the husband says, well, you just got to keep working through it, which is what I was always taught too, especially when I ran track and I was distance runner, which is the only way I made the track team at the time because nobody else wanted to run the 2 mile. So that's what I did. I don't like running that much. I'll tell you the quite honest truth, especially distance. But I recall our coach always saying, you have to work through it. You have to keep working through it, through the soreness. And he was right, because by the time I would get about a week or so in, the soreness would dissipate, be less and less and less, almost virtually not there at all, because we just ran that more, or ran more often, stretched better, got the proper treatment afterward, you know, if we needed it, etc. And there is recovery plan mixed within recovering from the soreness. And then I came to find that as I moved through season to season of track, I would run earlier and earlier, even before the season would even come close to starting, or even between the even for the time the team would even gather, hence trying to eliminate the soreness, hence I could be more ready. So I was preparing better, right? Athlete mentality. But this question, though, really poses that to me. It is about soreness. You know, doggone it, you get sore. I get sore doing simple things. And I know when I get up off this chair after this show, considering I just tried to do some like physical movements in a flag football practice for an hour and a half, that I'm going to barely make it up the stairs. I might start getting a cot down here because I don't know if I'm going to be able to get up the stairs one of these times after these shows. And I laugh it off because that's my choice. But it is something that is seriously scary for many people that are dealing with FSHD. And soreness is a part of that. It's the absolute pain. So here are some of the responses that I kind of wanted to share with share with you. One person says, I think it's best to ask recommendations from your doctor in this case. Depending on how much pain and muscle strength you still have, they can recommend certain exercises to maintain your muscle strength. What are you doing to exercise? And the response was, this is a lighthearted conversation. I didn't want to get into analytics, it seems, right? One person says, with us, there are two kinds of hurt. IMHO, period. One is the MD hurt and the other is workout hurt. In my case, the MD hurt is way different. So that's a good question to you. Is there a difference between for those that do some type of exercise? I don't care if it's light or if it's still biking or something more aggressive or not. That's besides the point. There's not a pitting match about what I can do and what you can't. It's about whatever you can do, what do you feel like? I found it interesting. This person said there's a difference between an MD sore or hurt and a workout hurt. It made me think, is there? Do you agree? That's the question. Do you agree with that? I don't know. I don't know if I do. Sometimes I can't tell the difference. And I'm thinking about it right now. You know, like, man, let's see. I find that I get sore. I think my MD sore is when I'm stagnant, when I haven't done much. And then I get up just to move out of a chair from a seated position or off the floor or whatever. More movement's better for me, even if it's light. As constant as I can be, to be quite honest with you. I mean, I really, really try to be constantly moving, active, if I can. For instance, being out of work as long as I have since March, April, yeah, it's been tough trying to keep moving, trying to keep active. You know how many times you just want to sit and go, I'm not going to do anything today. But I must, which is why I also thank Bill, because it's keeping me somewhat motivated here, keeping moving by giving me the exercises I need. Real talk. Jimmy, what do you mean? What do you mean? Anyway, I'm just confused by the comment. Elaborate. I would say, here's another comment based on the exercise and soreness. I would say I have to do short workouts in short amounts of times. If I get tired, I give it a break, but I try not to use it as an excuse not to exercise. Rest is good too, they say. Not to overdo it, Jimmy says. Thanks, Jimmy. Yeah. I do. Not to overdo it. Okay, not to overdo it. Then I read this comment again. If I get tired, I give it a break, but try not to use it as an excuse not to exercise. That's where I start walking into that world of quit for me. That's for me. Not for someone else. If I stop, that's an excuse for me just to continue to stop, and that's not good either. I'm not saying I'm going to go lift, you know, tons of weight or do something ridiculous. It's not what I'm saying. I just think that I have to have some type of light movement mixed with a little heavier movement, then phases of rest, and then go. And I'm not working out all the time. I'm talking about just normal activities even in a day. Sue Drescher, thanks for chiming in. She says, it is important to remember that we have a wide spectrum of abilities for exercises in our community. Yes, we do. Absolutely. And to try to find that can be like an Easter egg hunt. What fits for you? So I please implore you, reach out to Mitch. Last comment based off this thread. One person says, for me, I get three kinds of aches. Stiff muscles, because I have not used it. Aches because I have overused it, and dull aches because muscle has atrophied. I think that's probably the best explanation I found. I got that all courtesy of Living with FSHD on the Facebook page. So then what do you do for workouts? Sue, you made a good point that we have a wide spectrum of abilities for exercise in our community. This person says, it's almost like Sue knew what I was going to jump at next. This one said this question from Living with FSHD again in this group. It says, does anyone have or use a swim spa for hydrotherapy and just soaking your muscles? If so, what do you think about it? What are the benefits that you are receiving? We are considering getting one. Person says, best thing you could ever buy. Get all the jets and features you can. Also continues to say, it really helps loosening up your muscles and easing the pain. Plus, you can do aerobic therapy in there if it's big enough. I could live in it forever, says somebody else. That's all positive for the way I can see it. I agree. When I had a gym membership for a little while, a couple of years, they had a obviously a hot tub, good for the muscles. After a light workout, I would do customary aerobic type stuff or yoga type stuff. And then I would go into the current pool, which I loved because I just walk with the current and against the current. And then sometimes, you know, choppy, you know, almost like a running style. I loved the workout. The water added support to my body. And when I wanted some resistance, I went against the current. When I wanted just to kind of get movement, I would go with it. It was great. It was a huge benefit. I almost primarily used that. So I would say that's awesome. Ann Williams says, Howard Chabner wrote a great article that compared FSHers to professional athletes in that we are working at the top of our performance every day. I think we are also at risk for sports injuries. Yeah, we are. I've heard that as well, that as much as we push or try or extend or want to keep something going, you can be more prone to injuries. I remember back when I was getting diagnosed with this ridiculously annoying terrible disease and trying to figure out what was going on. I was in the midst of basically, I'm 40, I'm tired of not having the right muscles that I want. I got extremely motivated, and for a good period of time, this motivation lasted, and a very high motivation. On the exercise bike as often as I could be, on the treadmill as often as I could be, doing even sprints where I could. I was lifting weights. I bought a small gym for my home. I mean, I was all in. And it probably equaled to minimum an hour a day, 7 days a week, sometimes two, and on the weekends, three times a day. So that's a lot of time. And at some point, I looked and I thought, my arms are not getting bigger. I'm not getting abdominal muscles. Where are my pectorals? What is going on? At the same time, I'm dealing with soreness in my throwing arm, which I thought was a baseball injury from throwing batting practice, but obviously now it turns out it was FSHD. And one of the first things I told the doctor, I said, yeah, I was really hitting the weights hard, really trying to strengthen. He said, stop immediately. And he still to this day, still see the same doctor, says, you know, do 100 very, very light weightlifting exercise at a very light weight and do 100 of those, then do one at 100 pounds. Listen to your body. Be safe about it, because if you're going to damage your muscles and there isn't a lot of muscles there, then now you're damaging ligaments and other issues. So I totally agree with that. People have also told me with my terrible knees, hey, Tim, FSHD didn't cause your terrible knees, but because your muscles are getting weaker in your legs, it doesn't help. It's almost like a byproduct. So absolutely. Thank you, Ann, for sharing that and what Howard said. I think that is spot on. Sue Dresser continues with, it's a fine balance to keep the muscles we have at their best fitness while being careful to avoid injury, because we may not get it back. Yeah, we don't want to get too injured either. I've thought about that myself, is that, you know, I had a nasty ACL injury long time ago. If I got something like that again and I had to be laid up and not moving, I'm not going to like what my body's going to look like on the other side of that. You have to be careful for that recovery time as well. It makes the life pretty scary sometimes when you really break it down, when you really break it down. So I just wanted to share those things with you and some of the things that I found, you know. I know some people use for like recovery, obviously the water therapy we talked about, CBD oil I've seen has been talked about, other type of even creams with that in it. I'm not sure if that works for everybody or not. I personally have not tried it. But if it does work for you, you know, make sure you do give a good testimony and some facts to it, and give a direction when you post those things so people know what to do, what to get, what to try. The only thing I ever tried CBD oil with was a long time ago when it was just starting to come out. I got it from a place out of Colorado at the time, and it helped. It supposedly was supposed to help with the headaches and things that I was getting then. I can't really say any proof that helped that, but it did make me feel milder, a little more emotionally level, and I kind of liked it for that. So if it helps in muscles, if it's creams or something like that, I'd love to hear from you on there, you know, if there's something that works, or maybe there's certain foods we should have. I know when I was searching around, someone mentioned, on recovery and supplements, someone mentioned eat bananas every day. I think I'm allergic, actually, to bananas. It gives me terrible gut issues. So if there's another alternative to that, what is that, potassium then? Is that right? Is that what that has? Yeah. Okay. Yeah, thanks, Jimmy. He says, I'm using the Rick Simpson oil. CBD helps too. Okay. I'm going to have to look that up. Thanks, Jimmy. I appreciate that. Great community we have. Absolutely. Everyone always helping out. I also thank Bill and Mitch for joining us, getting that conversation started about getting physical, staying physical, listening to your body. What are you doing? How are you monitoring your health, and just keep working your body through and through, especially in these times in your home? You don't want to just be stuck doing absolutely nothing. I don't know if that's the right answer either. Yeah. Okay. I wanted to plug a couple things before we close up shop and go over the events and what's coming up in the FSHD world. There's a thing I notice, FSHDSociety.org is the Legacy Circle. We have a new online resource designed with you in mind as you decide how you would like to manage your estate and leaving a lasting influence. So if you're interested in that, you can visit the site. On the site, you can find the right gift for you based on your age, your assets, and your amount that you would like to give. Learn about ways to give and how to fund your gift. download brochures and popular types of gifts, etc. So it's just something out there. To learn more, you can email Heidi Roy at fshdsociety.org. And it's all there. And just something I wanted to, it came through my chapter email, and I wanted to see what you thought, or make sure you did see that. More information, visit fshdsociety.org. Going back to Jimmy's comments, he said, you're welcome. Thank you. And he said, be careful to get the CBD and RSO from trusted sources, though. Some don't process them so safely. Another great tidbit as we kind of circle back about the CBD oil comments we were making just a couple minutes ago. So thanks, Jimmy. Appreciate that follow-up and good advice. I think I would totally agree with that. Let's see. Next week, as we're starting to close up shop here, the FSHD radio show welcomes Ed Barakas, the Civil Liberties of the ACLU of New Jersey. You were going to talk about civil liberties, and he was the director there of the ACLU out of New Jersey. Excuse me, kind of misreading my copy there. So Ed's going to join us next week. He's going to be the featured guest as we launch into November. It'll be the day after the election, so some of y'all might have stayed up quite late the night before, so I understand if you can't make it for the live one, but man, I really tried to make a good guest here to kind of correlate right within this political time. And he might have a lot of great things to talk about. I'm looking forward to talking to Ed, so I hope you can join us next week for that show. Also, that's on the 4th. On the 7th, the Kansas City FSHD Family Day, 7th of November. Schedule's been released, and they have their agenda out there. They have FSHD 101, COVID-19 survey results, repurposing studies, multidisciplinary panel, I'm not sure what that is, FSHD Society representation, FSHD AI registry report, and all this has Q&A. I think it's going to be fun. Starts, I believe, at 9 a.m. Central Time and goes into the afternoon. So visit FSHD Society to learn more. I think that's pretty cool to be a part of that. On the 9th of November, it's the Wellness Hour from 5 to 6 p.m. East. Enjoy the time and care of the FSHDers out there. Share the challenges, talk about what works for you, and feel validated, supported within that group. It's the Wellness Hour on November 9th, 5 to 6 p.m. So that's what's coming up. And if you miss any past shows, you can find those all where you can find where you find your podcasts. That's Spotify, Google, Podcast Addict, and so many more platforms. Please find those shows, share those episodes with those in the community and outside the community. If you have a chance to rate and review the shows, please do so. I'd love to hear your feedback on the episodes and kind of get us more recognition as we try to grow the platform of this podcast. And looking forward to that. Also, one final, maybe two final plugs. One for the Ramp Fitness podcast. Check that out. You can listen more to what Mitch has to say about fitness. He was on the show today. And also plugging the starting to talk about the Giving Tuesday event coming up on December 1st, I think, actually. And that's Tuesday, December 1st, as we're planning on this telethon event, very similar to what we did last year. And hope you can stay with us for that. We've got a lot in store for that. So turn the page on another show. Thanks for being here. We'll see you next week with our next featured guest, which will be Ed Barakas, and we're going to talk about ACLU, civil rights, so many great things, especially after the election. I'm sure we'll have a spattering of what happened throughout that day, too. Wish you well. Don't forget to vote if you haven't yet. Please do that. Take care, and we'll see you next week. You've been listening to the FSHD Society Radio Show.